You are listening to the audio production of An Extra Mile, A Story of Embracing God's Call by Sharon Garlow Brown, published by InterVarsity Press. This book is read by Aaron Bennett. Rhodes. No need to wonder what heron-haunted lake lay in the other valley, or regret the songs in the forest I chose not to traverse. No need to ask where other roads might have led, since they led elsewhere, for nowhere but this here and now is my true destination. The river is gentle in the soft evening, and all the steps of my life have brought me home. Ruth Bidgood. Dedication. For Mom, Dad, and Beth, who have modeled the way of love for me over a lifetime. And for Jack and David, who daily demonstrated. I love you and thank God for you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. Part 1. In the Shadow. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by. Psalm 57, verse 1. 1. Becca. In the 3 weeks since her mother's death, Becca Crane had learned one thing about grief. There was no predicting what might trigger a deluge of emotion. The simplest things could set her off. An American accent on the London Underground, a box of Cheerios, her mother's staple, on a shelf at Tesco's, the melodic, mournful strains of a violin played by a street musician on the south side of the Thames. For some reason, nighttime walks along the river with the view across to the Houses of Parliament evoked such deep pain in her chest that she could hardly breathe. She pulled her knit beret down over her ears and leaned forward against the cold metal railing. All along the south bank, the globes on the wrought iron lampposts cast soft light on couples walking hand in hand, while the laughter of children riding an old-fashioned carousel wafted toward her. She wasn't sure why she subjected herself to these evening outings. Maybe she preferred the searing pain of loss to the numbness that had consumed her immediately after her mother died. In Kingsbury, her hometown, she had stumbled along dazed and detached, as if she were watching herself in a movie, a short, dark-haired orphan girl trying to convince herself and everyone else that she would survive just fine. "Call me if you need anything," her aunt had said on the phone shortly after Becca returned to London for the remainder of her junior year abroad. The words rang hollow. Rachel hadn't even bothered to attend the funeral, using the feeble excuse of a business trip she couldn't change. She had even reneged on her offer of part-time freelance work over the summer, initially extended so that Becca could spend the summer with Simon in Paris, free of any need for her mother's financial support or approval. But now, as Rachel had caustically noted, Becca had been provided for through her mother's modest estate. "What on earth will you do with a house like that?" Becca didn't know. She didn't know anything, except that she missed her mother terribly. An evening cruise boat glided by, lit from within. Becca imagined the conversations of the young women flirting over canapes and champagne, with nothing to think about except the men they might hook up with. Like her friend Pippa. Pippa had tried to be understanding and compassionate, but apart from her frequent bad breakups, she had never lost anyone. Her advice, though well-meaning, was one-dimensional. Distraction. Alcohol.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?